Which came first, the chicken or the egg?
Billy Hatcher.
Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
My name is Nolan.
And this is episode 197, 197, and World of Warcraft Classic relaunched just a couple days ago on Monday, August 26th, and so did a grueling marathon to become the first player to reach the original level cap of 60.
Yeah, and it's already happened.
That's
just
sad.
Yesterday, after 79 hours of almost continuous grinding, a player named Jokerd has claimed his title as the world first.
That's, well, congrats to Jokerd. I'm excited for his movie coming out.
Yes, it's going to be great.
That's a little much. Can we agree? It's a bit much.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, honestly, in its heyday, that was the norm. I mean, that's probably not true, but people would hop on this game and they would not get off this game.
Sure. The efficiency that he was able to do with that in, though, is almost unreal.
That's what's impressive.
Can one of y'all veterans, because I know y'all are veterans, explain the significance of WoW Classic being released to me and people who don't know what that is?
Maybe for the first time, Kenny can.
Okay. I'm ready.
I mean, why it's significant or what it is?
A little bit of both. I need context. Like, I need to know
what's
why it's
important about it coming back as a classic as opposed to just playing what there is today.
Okay, so
can we not just say RuneScape? Didn't they like what the version we just played, like that classic version? That's the significance.
Okay, if that's the metaphor, I get it. Like that's okay.
Sorry, Kenny.
Bring back the OG. Yeah. Old school RuneScape, old school WoW.
But like server support and full-on updates, like that's sick. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Almost everything gameplay-wise exactly the same, although they did do a few kind of tweaks to that experience, especially on like technology, and part of those is what allowed some of that leveling to happen so quickly. And so it feels a little disingenuous that it... I'm not going to get into a whole conversation about like server layering and all those things.
I saw a picture of... And I don't know if it was like planned and it was a joke or if it was real. There was a line of players and it was like WoW Classic players waiting to be the first boss. Like, and do you have to take turns? Like, can not everyone do that at the same time? Because there was like a forever line.
I think you've got different instances in your specific server or whatever, right?
Oh,
so there is a limited number at a time, I think.
and even like quest mobs don't, like, they just respawn on a set timer. Right. And like whoever kills it next, if they're working on that quest, gets the quest done.
It looks like a theme park line. It made me happy. It's so funny.
Oh yeah, at the beginning of the game when everybody's trying to play and especially doing the early stuff, the fact that people were actually that kind and orderly is what's funny and totally out of character.
Yeah.
Well, for the game. After Jokerd finished, he got to level 60. He went back to Stormwind, Kenny? Stormwind?
Yeah.
Okay, and I don't know if it's when you get level 60 this happens, but he got so many townspeople and then so many other gamers, and they just started doing a parade through the town. He started riding his mount, and people were like shooting off magic spells and everything. There was probably 100 people there celebrating him getting to 60 for the first time.
I love that. See, that's the old school MMO spirit. The new school MMO spirit is like... Yeah. The worst experience of all time.
So I'm not going to invest into WoW Classic, although I mean that would be a lot of fun. I just don't have the time nor the patience nor the money or anything like that. Nolan, are you thinking about it or no?
Heck no.
And then Kenny, return?
If I could, I 100% would. I just can't. Like, life doesn't allow that.
Kenny,
I think we're right at the 15-year mark for...
It's not far off if it's already passed or whatever. And I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish, but we got to get to our retro game of the week, which is Billy Hatcher and the Giant Egg.
Overview.
Kenny, not
I'm
only did
for
you
it.
Get...
I'm replaying, did you, I'm replaying it in my head.
Not only did you get Kanye'd, but I said, I'm going to let you finish.
Yeah. I'm going to let...
So good.
That might actually be the best one.
That
yet.
Might be the best one.
Well, like, did you hear me when I said it?
Yeah, I did.
It was delivered well.
I should have heard that one.
And I'm normally listening for it.
See, I'm not listening for it, and usually I don't get it. But that one was
an excellent pun.
No, that one's
the worst one.
Oh yeah, no, it's the obvious one. I'm taking the low hanging fruit.
That's a great one. I'm gonna let you finish. You got Kanye'd and me and punned.
You got Kanye'd, punned, and memed. That's the trifecta. Oh man, Billy Hatcher and the Giant Egg is a platforming video game for the GameCube. Although I would like to argue that it's kind of an adventure puzzle platformer.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. That was an easy one. Kenny? It doesn't matter. It came out in 2003 mm-hmm. with a PC port a few years later. It was published by Sega and developed by Sonic Team, which... of course, Sonic Team is known for one franchise primarily, but has developed other non-Sonic related titles that I don't know, but you might.
Yeah.
Phantasy Star Online, Astro Boy, The Rub Rabbits. I don't know, but those are some of them. There's other titles as well. But they are obviously known for the Sonic related titles. And Billy Hatcher and the Giant Egg is one of the non-Sonic related titles that came out. And it came out for, like I said, the GameCube, which is kind of just an odd era of Nintendo gaming anyways.
Oh, I love that era. It is
I'm not
odd.
Saying it's a bad one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt like stuff. GameCube was a little bit of a gem.
Definitely a gem. Billy Hatcher, they went really silly, and they tried some new things using the same engine as Sonic 2, I believe. Sonic Adventure 2,
yeah, which is
Sonic
a great
Adventure
game.
2, yeah. And so you get some of that feel in this game, although my argument would be that they did something, they were trying to go very, very different with Billy Hatcher.
Oh, definitely. Like, if you didn't tell me Sonic Team made the game, just threw me into it, I would never have been like, oh, this is the Sonic engine. Like, I just wouldn't have known that.
Until you ran across Sonic characters, like, scattered in the game.
Oh, sure. Sure.
But before that, you might not even know. Your hardcore Sonic fans would, but you might not even know that it's even related or connected in any way. It's got an absurd story. It involves a fantasy world... What? It involves a fantasy world named Morningland that mm-hmm. has lost morning to darkness, mm-hmm. which is really just a bunch of evil crows. It involves a magical chicken elder, actually multiple ones of them. It involves rolling around eggs, and it involves a legendary chicken suit. You're telling me that's mm-hmm. not an absurd story?
Okay. You act like the crows don't have a raven overlord who's actually also trying to take over the human realm. It makes really good sense.
What's his name?
You're right. That explained everything.
It's like, it's perfect.
I think his name's just Dark Raven, right? Which you've got your friends that are going with you, and they get lost in this world, and you have to rescue them. You have to save the chicken elder. Here, the goal of this game is that you're traversing through different stages of Morningland. You're completing various goals or missions. You're collecting emblems of courage, which is ironic because you're a chicken, and you're defeating the big baddie to bring back morning to the world of Morningland.
That's a great, overview.
Here's my philosophical question. Should it really just be called land? Because morning got stolen.
And here's my philosophical question. Chicken or egg? And it's chicken. You know that, right?
It is chicken. Because who popped the egg out?
Billy Hatcher.
There's the answer.
There's Billy the answer.
Which came first, the chicken or the egg?
Billy Hatcher.
Billy Hatcher.
Gameplay.
I'm going to start off with an odd comparison. Because I just want to let everyone know where my mind went when I was like, oh, this is like blank when I first started the game. So
Michael Jackson?
Moonwalker, yeah. No, it's Super Mario 64. In the sense that you don't, not a hub world, not collecting coins and stuff, just in the sense that the world that you're dropped into or the stage that you're dropped into is slightly free roam. Like there are some linear aspects, especially some levels, but you're put into a stage and then you can just kind of walk wherever you want and kind of start exploring. That's the adventure part that I agreed with you with, Dustin, that it felt a lot like adventure games at that time. And this was a little after 64, of course, but like,
but not only that, not only are you dropped into the world and it's kind of free roam, you're revisiting that same level with different missions or different expectations. It's completely like that game.
Yeah.
Like in the first area, you are, what is it called? Like forest something?
Forest village.
Forest village. You go there the first time and you have one task. Mainly, I believe your first either the first or second mission is to find the golden egg and hatch the golden egg, which is the elder.
Yeah,
that's how they always start.
And I think that's the first mission.
Yeah, and then you have to kill the bad guy and then you have to do various stuff.
The boss is usually the second mission, and so then you can usually go to the next area if you want to, or you can do the other 3, 4, 5 missions of that same level, and you've got different things to do. Sometimes it's kill a lot of enemies. Sometimes it is a race. Sometimes it is you've got different goals, different kinds of missions, whether it's defeating enemies, rescuing your human friends, obstacle course, race, other things, and you get an emblem of courage or different things at the end of each stage. And you go through these 7 different levels, completing those missions and beating the game, beating the boss at the end and returning morning to morning.
And what I really appreciate about, I love that style of gameplay, by the way, the whole revisiting the stage and now you have a different task. I think that works so well for the games that do it because they spend all this time building a really cool stage and you explore it and then you feel like you're done, but then they put you back and some stuff is slightly different and now you need to do this instead. And it's like a different puzzle.
Yeah, I think for 3D platformers, it really makes sense.
Oh yeah. Like I love that.
I don't know that you'd even see one that doesn't have at least a little bit of that. And if you do, I don't feel like it feels nearly as deep or as replayable. So it's a good choice.
Now the primary mechanic in this game is what sets it apart from other games.
Definitely.
Because you're not just running around platforming. The main mechanic here is that you are finding
eggs
and then you're rolling them around using them. Like without an egg, Billy Hatcher sucks.
He's really terrible.
And but there are moments when he doesn't have an egg. Like when I first started, I was like, I can jump.
And if you lose an egg, you want to find one very quickly because, again, Billy Hatcher, eggless, is walking, hopping, and cock-a-doodle-doodling. And that's all he can do. But when you find an egg, the game changes.
Yeah, so when you find those eggs, the main thing that you're doing is rolling them around. You have various different skills and abilities that you can use with the egg, but the main thing is Billy's pushing an egg around and that's it. And so you're squishing enemies with the egg. You are collecting items with the egg. Like the game is completely centered around this one mechanic and it's hilarious. Like I think it's so stupid and so funny and at times was actually really fun. And when I was watching your first play, Dustin, I was worried that when you find an egg, Billy walks up to it and you start rolling it. I was worried that you had to like hold down a button to start rolling it, like
hold
B or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, that's going to get so annoying because you're always with an egg. But what's nice is that you don't have to do anything. You just walk up to it and kind of press forward and he'll start pushing it.
I think you guys have left out one of the coolest things about this whole egg-based gameplay. And that is that after he picks up the egg and does all these cool special moves, he's able to actually collect fruit to increase the size and the potency of the egg that he has. And once that egg is well fed, you can hatch the egg, and depending on which kind of egg you got and where in the level it is, the egg hatches and you can get all kinds of different surprises. Sometimes you get absolutely nothing. Sometimes you get an item that you need to progress. Sometimes you can get hearts, or you can get a little animal friend companion with special powers to help you navigate through this world.
It really is Pokemon.
The first one you probably come across is this little fire flying horse thing. It's hard.
Like
I mean,
he looks more like a hippo than a horse.
A fire flying hippo, which makes it even better. And
it's called Cypher.
I think you can only use those companions when you're not rolling the egg. So you have to stop rolling the egg and disconnect from the egg, I believe. And then you can press a different button on your controller and launch your companion into really successful attacks. Cypher, like, dive bombs enemies, and then a fire ring explodes out around him. So you're bound to destroy multiple enemies when you attack with him. But there's so many different kind of companions. You can get a fire one, you can get an ice one, you can get an electrical one. And then even later, I think it was even already mentioned in the overview, you can get other Sonic related or Sonic Team related characters on your side.
Tails is in the game, Kenny. You'll be happy to know.
That's the best thing.
And I think he just makes you faster or more mobile, something like
that. But he makes you a better person.
Tails makes you a better person.
Okay.
But you are building up this egg, if it hasn't been said yet, by feeding it fruits.
Of course.
Every enemy you destroy and every box you destroy has some kind of fruit by it, and you can't just collect it as Billy. You have to roll over it with the egg, which is sometimes difficult because the fruits, you know, can be close to a wall or on a ledge or something. And if you roll that egg, you're connected to the egg for the most part, but if you roll that egg over a precipice, it's going to fall down into the water and be destroyed. Yep. Or you can crack your egg and then it won't hatch. And
which is
so you
funny.
You have to be very protective of that egg.
Well,
and
sure.
I really love the everything is centered around the egg and the health of the egg. Like even collecting the fruit, the little collectibles and the items. It just makes it first of all, it makes sense with the title of the game, and so I appreciate that. But there's an extra layer of like there's just an extra challenge there that's not in a lot of adventure games like this, especially like Sonic. Like you can be pretty reckless, just collect more coins if you get hit or whatever. But I don't know. The thing that really did start to suck is when the egg gets really big, it's hard to see what's in front of you sometimes. And so I was often like just running off of edges because I couldn't see in front of me.
And I don't think that's just from egg size. I at least found that the camera wasn't always as friendly as it probably could have been for a game, you know, that came out in this year.
It was better than a lot of games that have camera issues, but it still definitely
Yeah, it wasn't
suffered.
Like notably broken. When camera issues are really bad, it almost makes a game unplayable. And it wasn't that by any means, but it wasn't like super well done either.
Some of the abilities with the eggs were pretty funny too. So one that I was using a lot is like the boomerang one or the slingshot.
Oh yeah. One. Well, yeah. And so just to clarify, it's not necessarily abilities, just the moves, like your move set with your egg. Again, Billy Hatcher, walk, hop, and cock-a-doodle-doo. If we haven't explained, the cock-a-doodle-doo hatches the egg once it's completely your face. This sounds absurd, guys.
No, it sounds amazing, and it is the most adorable noise.
It is, but
in any game I've ever heard.
Every once in a while, as we're recording podcasts, I sit back and am I have gotten into something 4 years deep almost where I have to say cockle doodle doo on a recording and then like you
Releases
know hundreds and
world.
Hundreds of people are right, you know?
Yeah, and it's okay. We'll support you through that. But
I would very much like you to do an actual impression though of how it sounds.
That's a Nolan thing, but Billy the Hatcher does sound like
he does it so well.
He's adorable. And when he finishes the stages, he's like, he says something cute again, like,
good morning.
Yes, that's what it is. And it's not near as deep as you just did.
It's way more
cute. Yeah. Back to the egg mechanic, you've got a moveset with the egg. And so not only can you jump higher, you can do a bounce jump. Not only can you do, let's talk about some of them. So you mentioned first the boomerang, which is you kind of push the egg, launch the egg forward, and it rolls forward for a certain amount of distance, and it hits whatever's in its path, and then it comes back to you like most a boomerang would.
I think if we're going to be really like physics accurate, it gets thrown forward and then it rolls back to you. Otherwise, it makes no sense. But if you picture it like the hula hoop, you know, as a kid where you like throw it and then but like spin it backwards and it comes back to you, it makes total sense.
Yes. I know what you mean, but okay.
Yeah, it's less boomerang, more hula hoop, but cock-a-doodle-doo. And you roll it, it attacks, and it comes back. Also, you've got like this Hulk smash with it, and so you can jump in the air, and then if you press your slam down button, whatever, your attack button, while you're up high, you can slam down and... it's a kind of an AOE, and any creature under you or in the general vicinity is going to get flattened by that.
Another one is the dash, and it just speeds Billy up. Like, he starts pushing it way faster and you get a little boost. I used it constantly while I was on the ground
it's
so nice. You just hit R and then you go faster.
Kenny, you got any more moves?
I do think it's worth pointing out some of the other interactions like throughout the world, because not only does he have all of those moves, and I think you guys mentioned most of them, unless we didn't get the like spinny jump thing, but I think you guys
most
did.
Of them, spinny jump thing, and like when it's rolling downhill, he just holds on and so kind of rolls with it.
That
so
one bothered me a lot, because he would have been squished so hard by the egg. I wish they'd have had him jump on top and like just run while it rolled. That would have looked way cooler.
You're right. It's super important to get all of those like very important real world mechanics.
It is.
Right.
I clearly have spent some time thinking about these things. But yeah, you have a downhill roll, which you use to navigate some like half pipe things that are treacherous, and some ramps that take you to different areas, and even some sort of train track based, almost roller coaster looking tracks that move you from one area to the level to the next. But I think some of those world navigation things are also worth mentioning, because not only are you running around with your egg, dashing and fighting enemies and throwing it and having it come back to you, but you're also finding these circles that are like a combination of a hollow trampoline meets a like
hula-hoop.
Donkey Kong Country barrel combo. Yeah. And you jump into the middle of it, and depending, it either just like bounces you higher or shoots you in a specific direction that you choose, or chains you between a whole bunch of these little different circles that you shoot through to kind of teleport you to another area of the map. And so it gives them a lot more freedom to create puzzles and do things that you couldn't do with just the egg abilities.
I think that is straight up from some of the Sonic games. I believe there is some kind of like launching ring things from that. And then you mentioned just in passing, Kenny, the tracks that help navigate you around the stages as well. And that's kind of very Monkey Ball-esque, I felt.
I felt that too, for sure. Yeah. And I've never played Monkey Ball, but I know what you mean for sure.
So what it all comes down to, again, is you are helpless without an egg, but with an egg, you can do all things.
That's so true in life, too. A note about the controls. I used a GameCube controller this week because I have an adapter.
Nice.
And I will argue, and I'd like to hear what y'all did, because I'm not sure what controller you use, but like, I would argue that not using the GameCube controller would kind of suck, or at least would not be as good of an experience. They did a great job of mapping the controls to that controller. It's kind of a unique controller, and I had a really enjoyable experience, like just navigating. It felt really smooth, but I was thinking, man, if I was using like an Xbox controller or something, this would feel kind of awkward.
See, I think that's always true. If a game is like well mapped in the first place, it's going to feel natural. And it probably was a little bit of a hurdle here, but I don't think with the GameCube controller, it's nearly as big an issue as it is with like an N64 game where you've got Z button and like a whole different functional setup. And so I never felt like it was a hurdle for me.
No, I just love GameCube controllers.
And I understand that, but look at a GameCube controller and then look at your Xbox controller, and they're pretty identical there. So like, I didn't feel, it felt really smooth with my Xbox controller.
Yeah.
I'm sure it feels even better with the native controller, of course, but I thought they did well emulating it for today.
Fair enough.
So we've talked about all the superpowers you get from just pushing an egg around and about navigating the levels, which are relatively typical 3D platforming. Talk to me a little bit about what you guys felt like in terms of boss fights and how often those came and difficulty and whatever else.
I haven't really mentioned it much here outside of the theme, but I felt like this game for the most part was exceptionally easy. And I mean, yeah. I did throw in the pun, but I did mean that. And even when it came to the bosses, like mm-hmm. what I found myself doing almost all the time was just rolling my egg into everything. But what was nice is that the bosses did have different mechanics so that at some times they were untouchable by the egg. And so you had to wait until they get into a certain posture or until they complete a certain kind of attack, stream, and then you could attack them. And so there were some that I rolled. All that being said, I thought it was easy, the game. I thought the bosses were relatively easy, but I loved the boss designs because they were very different from one another.
Yeah, yeah. I thought they did a great job of not like rehashing the same mechanic or same idea for the bosses. Like that first one was super easy, but then later on in the ice stage when you're fighting the, what is that, a walrus? That was a really fun fight, and I thought it had a great design. And that one was actually slightly harder than some of the other ones, because I agree with you, it's an easy game. But like, the boss fights were some of the more enjoyable parts of the game for me.
You guys are making me hungry. Nolan is rehashing things, and Dustin thinks the game is over easy. I just want breakfast.
You eat walruses?
I mean, I'd be open to trying it. So I totally agree. Bosses are... Here was my beef with bosses.
Has nothing to do with eggs.
No,
honestly.
It has nothing to do with eggs. And that one was totally accidental. You just have made me hungry now and I can't help it. So when you do get the bosses to be vulnerable, it felt like they were too vulnerable for too long. And that egg has a big hitbox.
Oh, yeah.
And so the fact that you could like push it on the boss most of the time when they were like in a vulnerable kind of state or hit them and then just sort of like run in circles. There were times that you could do like a half or a third of their life with one sort of passive attacking that just made it feel like even like you never had to actually learn the boss's patterns to be successful. You just had to out attrition them, but in a really simple way.
Yeah. But again, I thought that was consistent with the rest of the game's difficulty.
Sure. And it's not designed to be a hard game. I mean, it's designed to be a pretty kid friendly game across the board, including difficulty level.
Aged.
In my opinion, this is one of the first games, and we've had others, but this is one of the first that we have played that, in my opinion, does not feel retro in the slightest.
100% agree. I think the other game would be Ratchet and Clank.
When you have full control of the camera and in a 3D environment, that changed everything.
Yeah.
And before that, when camera was either, even at the dawn of that, when the camera was your bumpers up top, that still feels retro. But when you're in a 3D environment with full control of the camera, even though it's not perfected yet, it's just massive strides from what it was. And I mean, and so I just felt like it looked, felt, sounded like a very, very modern game.
Dude, you're so right. It's the camera. Like we always say graphics and we always say, you know, this doesn't look retro
or sound or yeah,
sound,
different things like that.
What it is really is the camera being free. Like you have control over the camera because that stayed with us. That's in modern games. If it's not in modern games, what are you doing? And I really think that might be one of the biggest reasons. That's true. I didn't even think about that.
It also just feels more recent in like even just hardware and graphics and all of those kinds of things. It's obviously not, you know, a right now kind of game. Like there's a little bit of date to the look, but they just did a really nice job of having a polished product. And because of that, I kind of was with you on this camp of it not feeling like a game you'd play today, but not truly feeling like retro.
Dude, honestly, it's to me, some indie studio could make a game that looks like this and come out today and I wouldn't even think twice about this being outdated. It seems like there's nothing about it for me that feels old.
Well, and they were also really smart with the development of this game because they didn't do fully like voice acted cutscenes. There were plenty of cutscenes, but it was all, they didn't have spoken dialogue in this game. It was when there was dialogue portions in cutscenes, it was all this like mumble cute kid stuff and with the text box or something if needed. But they told the majority of the story just through action and music and facial expressions and different things like that. And so they kind of foolproofed themselves in this so that like with the sound and the graphics and the visuals and the cutscenes and all of those elements, they chose well from the beginning. And so they last well to today. I mean, those cutscenes look like a Saturday morning cartoon in all of the best ways.
Yeah, they were great for that year. Like really good. A lot of GameCube beautiful. Games were.
Yeah, beautiful, bright, vibrant, the colors, the look, the feel, all of that was just exceptional. Again, exceptional in this game.
I can see people now thinking that it's kiddie and was made for kids. I think
absolutely,
you mentioned that, Kenny. But like, you got to understand, like at that time, adults played these games too. Somewhere along the line, Nintendo became like, oh, only, you know, Nintendo is for kids, and I play Xbox and Call of Duty. Like, that's an opinion of a lot of people, not us and not people who know better, but, like, a lot of people think that. But at that time, like, grown men were playing games like this. Well, and
but also, games for kids is not a bad thing.
No, like, it's not.
Adults can find fun in games with kids, but you know who can find fun of games for games with kids? Kids. Yeah. And they that's the majority of the audience that is playing video games, or that especially during that time, you've got a lot more I mean, we've all grown up now, right? But in 2003, you know, Nolan, you were, you know, 4, I was 6, and then Kenny was 50 something, and so like we were kids when this game came out. Nintendo, Sega, GameCube, all these things. I just think it was a perfect time for a game like this to come out. Very childish. But again, I think that age is fine, and it's completely fine to make a game for kids.
Yeah, that's true.
For sure. And they did it right. Like, if you're going to release a game that's super, you know, family-friendly, silly, bright, colorful, in 2003, you want to do it on the GameCube. And so they were really smart about how they released and all of the things, which surprises me because when this game came out, it didn't do super well. It was sort of a flop, at least in terms of sales.
Again, isn't part of that GameCube? Like, wasn't GameCube sales just overall pretty low?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. It's because it wasn't a Nintendo team and a Nintendo release publication. I think that's what it was. Like, it was Sega, but it wasn't one of their Sega icons. It wasn't Sonic. And so people were like, what is this? It was a new IP. It had no previous game. It had nothing to base, you know, from the creators of Billy Hatcher 1. We've got Billy Hatcher 2. It was just a new game. And so I can see people being like, I don't want that, or I don't know what that is, and not buying it.
I think if it had gotten into more homes, it probably would have been a more popular, successful game.
Yeah, they probably just marketed it poorly.
That literally is a whole chicken and the egg thing. Like, you know, does a game get popular because of the game or because of marketing, and which has to come first?
Like, back then it was marketing, 100%, I think. Because marketing video games is so different these days.
Oh, sure.
And it's not as important, but I mean, we had the internet back then, of course, but it was just different. And marketing, commercials was everything.
We should definitely touch on the sound, because we said this game didn't age at all. And though I think the sound quality is great, the sound, I don't know, vibe is very, I almost feel like it's more late 90s than it is even early 2000s. It's a little bit over the top stylistic for me. Oh, yeah, just like style. Like, it's bright and silly. And again, I know some of that fits the game, but that to me feels very more retro than other elements of it, just because, I don't know, games today tend to go for like ambiance and feel and this almost sort of include what's happening in the music in what's going on. And this was just bright, cheery soundtrack. Well done, I think, but it just, that felt older to me.
I'm going to be honest with y'all. I didn't really notice the music.
This really?
Week, yeah, not as much as I normally do. And I don't know if that means it wasn't good or what. I just, I guess I was so distracted by
it. Definitely means it wasn't
going
bad.
On.
I mean, and I'm going to let you finish, but I thought that just round two, I thought it was exceptional. I'm really not trying to use exceptional over and over again for these things because it has the egg in it. But I thought the music here was spot on. I thought it was very good. And maybe where it's not, maybe where it's not one that gets stuck in your head, but if I played this game enough and played it all the way through and spent, you know, a month of my summer in 2003, 2004 playing this game, I would definitely remember some of those tracks because I thought they were light, lively, kiddie, fun, sounded really
I
well.
I liked the and snow fit, one a lot.
Fit the game perfectly, mm-hmm. in my opinion. I really liked it.
The main title theme, though, is so funny. No, it's not bad or it didn't age poorly. No. I just liked it because it sounds like one of those bad recorder videos on YouTube. You know, like a recorder, and they try to do the 20th Century Fox theme.
Well, but and then kids are like chanting stuff together. Like it's really quirky, really fun. Watch my first play because it really was my first experience coming into contact with that like intro cutscene, and it's special. It's special.
It's special.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every episode, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. Requires 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. Who is going to take this one first?
Not me.
Nolan, you ended last time. Do you want to start this time?
Yeah, sure. You normally, but you got to help me first. You normally end with, if you want to play Billy Hatcher, there's a second one or something. Is there a sequel to this game?
No,
okay,
but not. He did show up in a few other games, like in a Sonic Racing game, I think.
Oh,
and
nice.
Yeah, a few other things
okay,
like that.
Cool. So that's important. I enjoyed this game a lot. I love GameCube era so much, and this felt extremely GameCube. And that's a plus for me. So just based on the console it's on, I like it. But then once I got into it, I was laughing a lot, and I love the theme. Very self-aware, very funny, ridiculous, but like the mechanics were there. And if the mechanics are there and I'm having fun with the gameplay, I'm good. Like something else has to really wreck the game for me. And so I really, really enjoyed playing this game. And it's a shame that this is the one and only title. I mean, I think it deserves a sequel or it should have at that time, but it didn't. And maybe we'll get a remaster. That's another reason I asked, because like I feel like this would do really well on the Switch. I think it'd be pretty cool to have a remaster, but maybe we won't get that because I'm sure Sonic Team is very different these days. New Game Plus.
Bihatga is a completely childish game.
Can we abbreviate it now?
Yeah, B-H-A-T-G-E, Bihatga.
Okay.
Completely childish. And also completely charming. I thought this game was incredibly cute. And I don't know if I've ever said that on this podcast about a video game.
Maybe Spyro?
We don't talk about that because of you guys. I actually got those kinds of vibes, honestly, this week because it is childish. Spyro is easy and you're running around doing simple tasks. And it's similar in this, although there's not really dragons. There's flying hippos, fire hippos.
Yeah,
it's an easy game. It's easy to progress. It's got fun mechanics that are even relatively unexplored in other titles. Beautiful graphics, beautiful sound. I had some real fun with this game this past week, and I most certainly want other people to know about it. So I also give it my vote for New Game Plus status.
Nice.
Kenny, is it 3 for 3?
It's nice that my vote doesn't matter because I was super torn here. And so because it doesn't matter, I can just do whatever I want. I felt like this...
Go with your heart.
I will. I felt like this
Yellow
was
Center.
A good game... I don't think it was excellent. It did suffer from a few things that we haven't brought up or talked about. It's super repetitive. Maybe not super, but it's the same thing over and over to a large degree.
Yeah, it's a short game.
I know. And it's a kid's game. But they do at least like upgrade the platforming and the puzzling as you go and some of those things. And the worlds have variety and whatever else. And from a gameplay perspective, I felt like it was good, not great, and so I was torn. But as we've talked about this game, I just found myself smiling a lot, and every time I thought of Billy Hatcher doing his little cook-a-doo-ka-doo, which is the worst impression ever and probably just ruined it for you, go look it up. He actually is cute. Yeah, it's the cute factor that ultimately tipped it for me too, which is weird, because I'm going to say Billy Hatcher, more adorable than Spyro and more fun both.
Wow.
I know they're not perfect equivalents. Not a perfect game, so I hate that it gets three New Game Pluses, but it does because it won my heart. New Game Plus.
Which means Billy Hatcher and the Giant Egg is New Game Plus certified. But what did you think? We had a couple write in this week. Garlisle, faithful Garlisle, said, "Brace yourself. I can't say I initially liked the way the egg rolled, but perhaps I was just being too hard-boiled in my egg expectations."
So he beats the game and just does punts the whole time.
"So I nested up and then I tried it again. Unfortunately, the more I played, the more I found the game cracking. The camera was far from cooperative, and the physics often broke in farmful ways."
Sounds good.
"Losing lives over and ovum again due to glitches."
All right.
"Due to glitches and weird collision just feels foul."
Yeah.
Kenny, foul.
I got it.
"Sure, I scrambled my way to the end, but my patience was steadily fried, often frustrated enough with dumb things to say, I've clucking had an uff, an oof, an..." He's got a end note here, actually, and so he put a one there and then down at the bottom.
Yeah.
"And oof is pronounced like enough, and oof is French for egg."
Look, you just said enough, and then you said oof. It's not enoof.
Bilingual egg pun, either way. He said he had to give it a break. "I can see the white that makes some people love this game. It's colorful and sunny, and sure doesn't just poach its mechanics from the rest of its genre. The quality of the music and visuals is sure no yolk. But if you're freshly hatched to the genre, there's many golden eggs I'd suggest you lay first." So I'm not entirely sure whether or not he liked it, but he did get a lot of egg puns in there.
I'm exhausted after hearing
But it was super fun. I'm glad that even having like played through this game, Garlisle shared in Discord this week that he like accomplished an entire playthrough.
You were in
Discord
this week?
Yeah, what?
It happens. I occasionally lurk. Even knowing that, saying that this is maybe one to put off for other better equivalent similar things, despite some of the cool unique features, I think is generally where I kind of resonated with the game. So I thought good insight, but way too forced on the puns.
Although
he made me laugh, so I don't
know. All right. Thank you for writing in. 16-bit Dad said, "It's been so long since I played this game that I'd largely forgotten what it was like. I originally picked this up purely because it was made by Sonic Team and ended up really enjoying it. The quirky nature of the game, as well as the downright ridiculousness of it, really resonated with me. Going back to it now, I instantly remembered why I liked it so much. The visuals and overall aesthetics is so far out there, and the gameplay is really entertaining, which combined to make a game I still enjoy even now."
I never played it, and if I would have known that it was made by Sonic Team back in the day, I would have wanted it, because like that was around the time that I was like, ooh, Sonic Adventure 2, give me that. Like, I would have totally played it.
I never owned a GameCube, so I wouldn't have been able to play it. I did own a computer, so maybe I could have played the PC version, and I wonder how
it
differs.
That's weird that it came out on PC. I actually didn't know that.
That is very weird.
They're pretty similar.
Okay. I believe it.
I do like Nolan, the image of you as a kid saying, "Give me that."
Oh, I said that all the time.
Thank you for writing in, Garlisle, 16-bit Dad. If you listen to this podcast and you haven't yet dipped your toes into the commentary waters. We'd love to invite you to send in your thoughts on the retro game of the week each and every week to ngppodcast@gmail.com, or you can just visit us on our website, ngppodcast.com, and we'd love to get your thoughts included as a part of our episode next week. But for now, we're going to set Billy Hatcher and the Giant Egg to the side, and we are going to select our next retro game of the week. And you may have noticed that I didn't say randomly.
You didn't.
Why? Because you're breaking the show.
Actually, the last person that wrote in that we just kind of read, 16-Bit Dad, his commentary there, is coming on next week as our next guest.
Wah, wah. Nice.
16-Bit Dad is a blogger, a streamer, a YouTuber, a retro game reviewer, and a friend of the show. And the retro game that he picked for us to play for the next 7 days is... We're going to be playing a role-playing video game developed by Sacnoth for the PlayStation.
Ew.
Sounds fake.
Yeah.
Now, although it sounds fake, Sacnoth included a former employee of Square and other Square staff members.
We're going to make our own Square.
That worked to develop this game.
I'm down.
16-Bit Dad could have chose any game for us to play that is retro, and he chose this one. For the next 7 days, we're going to be playing the game Kudelka.
Talk to me about it a little bit.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing it. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. It's K-O-U-D-E-L-K-A. Kudelka.
Kudelka.
Kudelka. Kudelka. Okay. No. We're going to not.
What is it, though? It's an RPG?
It's the girl's name, and she's the lead character. She's the protagonist. Kudelka Ayasant, which also sounds fake.
Kudelka Doodle Doo.
Kudelka Doodle Doo. Find a copy of Kudelka this week. Play it along with the three of us as well as 16-Bit Dad.
Hop in Discord or else ngppodcast.com. Join us in Discord. We'll see you there. It's free.
I want to say a big thank you to all of you who support us on patreon.com. We appreciate it, especially our producer-level supporters who go above and beyond in helping us to continue to make a cracking good podcast. I'm just stealing puns now from Garlisle. So, dear baby, Garlisle himself, Grim, Antonin, Ben, Bill, Grim, Magzma, Corey, Zach, Zion, you guys are wonderful and we are so appreciative.
You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch at NGP Podcast, YouTube at New Game Plus Podcast. Listen to us directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you are subscribed so you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our good friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Kudelka. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Nolan.
And why did the new egg feel so good?
Why?
Because he just got laid. This has been New Game Plus.